Welcome to this week's Planet Shakers podcast. We would love to invite you to any of our four Sunday church services right here in Melbourne, Australia. Service times are 9:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., 3:30 p.m. and 6 p.m. Otherwise, you can join us online on YouTube or Facebook. We'd love for you to join us. Now to this week's podcast.
I want to speak to you on the topic tonight, the God of the overflow. How many know that God wants to overflow blessing in your life? You know, you get these people that go, you know, you're into prosperity and blessing. Yes, we are, because the Bible talks about it. The Bible says in Genesis 1 that God made man, and what the first thing he says is, and he blessed them. So if God wants to bless us, we're good. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. God is a God of blessing. He's a good father. That's who he is. And he wants to bless his children. That doesn't mean we don't go through challenges and trials, but we can have victory in our challenges and trials. We can have the God of victory come through on our behalf as we stand in faith. You're blessed by God because God blessed you. And the Bible says where it's unity, God commands a blessing. So even a greater blessing comes in unity. How cool is that? And so today I want to talk to you about God of the overflow out of the story of Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. She came from Moab. And she married an Israelite. And the family had moved from Israel because there had been drought. And they went to Moab. And they married Moab women. And there were two sons. And there was a father. And they all died. And all there was left was two daughters-in-law and a mother. A mother's name is Naomi, and the two daughters, one was called Ruth. That's what this book is named after. And Naomi said to Oprah and Ruth, she says, you go be with your people. And Oprah went with her people, but Ruth did not. She comes and says this from Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. It says, but Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I love this scripture, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. But here's the most amazing thing. Your God, the God of Israel, will be my God. Your God will be my God. So it's saying here right now, it sets up right at the start. If you want to understand overflow, you got to make God your God. The God... you got to make Jesus your Lord. You know, you can come to church and sing about God, but he still not be your God. You might have given your life to him, but you're not following him. The key to overflow is making him God in every area of your life, in your relational life, in your financial life, in your emotional life, in your family life, in your work life. Make him God of your life. What does that mean? He's in charge. Your God will be my God. What an amazing statement. And so then it goes on and it says in Ruth chapter 2, verse 2. Yeah, I don't like a weak sort of attempt. It sounds like a football team that loses. No, we need it to be a winning team because we're on the winning team. Yeah. So Ruth chapter 2, verse 2. There we go. It says, one day Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up stalks of grain left behind by anyone who was kind enough and let me do it. Naomi replied, all right, my daughter, go ahead. So if we're going to live in this overflow that God wants to have for us because he's the God of overflow, we're going to make him God, him our God. But the second thing, we need to position ourselves for the overflow. Position yourself for blessing. She didn't stay at home and watch reruns of Oprah and reruns of, you know, Dynasty. It's something you don't even know what that is. Football games replayed, you know, whatever. Didn't go into that. She said, I'm going to go into the field. I'm going to do something. You see, so many people are waiting for God to bless them, but God's saying, go get in the field. And you get in the field and I will bless you. She positioned herself for blessing. So many people don't live in the blessing of God because they don't position themselves for it. Last month, in the month of June, we did our miracle offering. I want to say thank you and honor all of you because right now, last year we took 6.6 million over the year in the miracle offering because it comes through the year. And this year, we are already from what we were in June last year, we are already $3.3 to $3.4 million over what we gave last year in June. Give yourself a hand of encouragement and thank God for what He's about to do. So I believe that this next year we're going to see over 9 million come in the miracle offering. You see, what did you do? You positioned yourself for blessing. One person had this deposit and they were praying because I always say you should never give because I tell you, you give because God tells you. And they ask God, what should we do? We want to be part of the miracle with empower. We want to be a part of the miracle with believe. We want to be a part of the miracle with the conferences and what we're doing around the world on television. We want to be a part of the miracle of reaching people. What do we do? And they felt the Holy Spirit say to them, I want you to give your deposit. And if they had come to me, I would have gone, are you sure? And they said, yes, yes, we're sure. They would have said, yes, yes, we're sure. I didn't talk to them, but that's what they did. They gave their deposit. That week, a family member contacted them and deposited into their bank account 10 times the amount that they had given in the deposit. 10 times. That is called a God of overflow, a God of blessing. And God's no respecter of people. He's just looking for people who will position themselves in the field to be blessed. You see, the field she goes to, she doesn't realize, but this guy's name is Boaz. And in the Old Testament, Bible College students would understand this, you have types of what is going to happen in the New Testament. And Boaz is a type of what Jesus is about to do in the New Testament because Boaz in this story is called a kinsman, not a king, a kin, family, kinsman, redeemer. And his job is to redeem his family. 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son to die upon a cross for your sin and my sin because redeem means to pay a debt. It means to pay off what the debt is. Jesus paid our debt of sin. Jesus paid our debt of loneliness and independence. He paid our debt of sickness. He paid it all upon the cross. He is our kinsman redeemer. He says, I'm going to redeem you to bring you into the family. See, what does a kinsman redeemer do? He does four things. I'm going to do this really quickly. He's the redeemer of the family's promised land. You know that Abraham was told by God, wherever your foot treads is your inheritance. You know the Bible in the New Testament says, we are of the seed of Abraham and his blessing rests on us. So that means that promise Abraham's got, that's for us. The Bible says that the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus redeemed us, that means wherever our foot treads, it's our inheritance. That means every promise He has to heal you, to save you, to deliver you, to give you peace and give you joy and give you favor is yours because He is our kinsman redeemer. That's what Boaz did. He redeemed the debt of the land. Let's keep going. What is a kinsman redeemer? Number two, it's a redeemed, you get redeemed from slavery. What is slavery? Slavery is anything that's got you bound. Any bondage you have in your life. It might be, you might be have a bondage to lust. You might have a bondage or you're bound by somebody that they've got control of you. What is bondage? It's getting control over you. Maybe it's bondage in your thoughts. Maybe it's bondage in your insecurity. Maybe it's bondage in your family situation. I don't know what it is, but my Bible says in Luke that Jesus came down from the mountain after praying full of the Spirit and He opened the scroll and He said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. If you believe that, give God a shout of praise. See, He redeemed you so you don't have to live bound. I remember as a church, we were early on, a friend of mine was starting a church in Manchester, and the Holy Spirit spoke to us to gather some people to help them. And we raised $100,000 to help them plant this church. This church is now the biggest church in the United Kingdom outside of London. And it's blowing up. It's doing so many. Now, Glyn Barrett, who's the pastor of that church, is now over 600 churches. But when they started in Manchester, he was just a struggling youth pastor that had a vision to touch the world and touch Manchester. And so we helped so we could have a youth pastor, a kids pastor, whatever. And he started this church. And I remember sitting down with him one day and he said to me, "I owe you." And I said, "Stop right there." I said, "You don't owe me anything. Because as soon as you live in I owe you mindset, that means I can own you. You never owe anyone. You don't owe your parents, you honor your parents. The Bible doesn't say, owe your parents and it'll go well with you. It says, honor your parents. Honor you. You see, you never owe anyone. You're not. Your life is only owed to God. He is the only one. And you know what He does? He doesn't make us come and give our lives to Him. He invites us to relationship because He understands honor is not being owed. See, I have a mortgage on my house and I'm paying my mortgage, and when they decide to put the interest rates up, I have no option because I'm owned by the bank, technically. Until I pay that debt off, they can control how much I give and they can control my budgets. Because I'm owned, I owe, and that because I owe, I'm owned. But Jesus came to emancipate everybody. He came to set women free. He came to set men free. He came to set you free from bondage. He came to set you free from fear. He came to set you free from poverty. He came to set you free from depression. He came to set you free because Jesus is our Kingsman Redeemer. But it just doesn't stop there. Kinsman Redeemer is a protector or the avenger of blood. In other words, it keeps the bloodline in the family. Keeps here's Ruth from Moab, but she has a husband that was in the family. So they're protecting the family's future. Jesus 2,000 years ago said, "I'm going to shed my blood, so I'm going to avenge sin. I'm going to avenge anything that comes against you, and I'm going to shed my blood so you can come into royalty. You can be a son and you can be a daughter and you can come into the family." He says, "Dad, I'll go die on the cross for their sins. Dad, I'll go and die for them so that they can come in right relationship with you." Kinsman Redeemer is a redeemer of the family and future marriage. I love this. The Bible describes Jesus as the bridegroom, and He describes the church as the bride. So when He redeems us, He brings us into the bride. And the Bible says He's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. The bride might not be perfect, but we're holy and righteous because He is holy and righteous. And He says, "I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to marry you. I'm going to bring you into the benefits of my family. You're going to have an inheritance. You're going to have heirship. You're going to have a position in heavenly places with me." Why? Because He came and redeemed us. And we see this in Boaz. Let's keep going. We going all right? In Ruth 2:8, it says, "Boaz went over and said to Ruth, 'Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us when you gather grain. Don't go to any other field. Stay right behind the young women working in the field. See which part of the field they are harvesting and then follow them. I have warned the young men not to treat you roughly. And when you are thirsty, help yourself into the water that have been drawn from the well.' Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. 'What have I done to deserve such kindness? I'm only a foreigner.'" What a picture that is of the gospel. We were foreigners to the kingdom of God. But because of our Kinsman Redeemer, Jesus, he says, come, I'm going to make a way for you to no longer you be a foreigner, a foreigner of heaven. Now I'm going to make you a citizen of heaven. I'm going to bring you into the citizenship of heaven, but I'm going to do more than that. I'm going to make you an ambassador of heaven. You're going to live in the ambassadorial mode of heaven. Oh, but not only that, you're going to be a son and a daughter. You're going to be a king and a priest. You're going to be a person anointed and appointed. You are going to step into something so amazing. You were once a foreigner, but now you're in the beloved. Wow. And he said, what's her response? Oh, why are you so kind to me? That should be always our response to Jesus. You're so amazing. You're so awesome. When I think of all the things that you have done for me, where could I even start? With all my heart. Every air, every breath that I breathe, you are the air I breathe. Jesus, you're all for me. See, that's a position you have when you understand how good he is to us. In Ruth 2:14, it says, and at mealtime, Boaz called to her, come over here and help yourself to some food. You can dip your bread in sour wine. So she sat with the harvesters and Boaz gave her some roasted grain to eat. And she ate all that she wanted and still had some left over. See, she just didn't position herself for blessing. Her positioning positioned her to get the attention of blessing. You can be in the field, but like everyone else, not get the attention. There's something about somebody who is grateful and passionate that gets the attention of blessing. All through scripture, you have all these, they had this group of blind beggars and they're begging there and they're wanting alms and Jesus comes past and one of them goes beyond what anyone else said and begins to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he stops, the attention of heaven stops because his hunger and passion. You know, in the Bible and in the things of God, this is how it works. It's opposite than human desire. It's opposite. The kingdom of God works opposite. You go, what do you mean? You see, if I'm hungry and I eat, I'm full, I'm satisfied. In the kingdom of God, when you're full, you're more hungry. In the kingdom of God, when you're full up to the brim, you're more thirsty. It's those type of people that God is looking for because that's what gets his attention. He knows where everyone's at, but it's people who say, here I am, here I am. I'm thankful, I'm grateful, gets the attention. Wow. It then goes on and it says, verse 15, when Ruth went back to work again, Boaz ordered his younger man, let her gather grain right among the sheaves. Verse 16, and pull out some head of barley for the bundles and drop them on purpose for her. When you and I position ourselves with the purposes of God, he has a purpose waiting for us. He has blessing waiting for us. When I left Adelaide with 12 people and my family and we came to Melbourne, we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know that an Empower Center was going to happen. We didn't know Urban Lives would be what it was. We didn't know the university ministry would be what it is. We didn't know where Planet Boom was. We didn't know we'd pack this building out four times on a Sunday and then churches around the world. We didn't know any of that to have seven campuses. But what we knew is God says, go. And so we position ourselves and we got the attention of heaven. And every step, God had a blessing purpose right there for us, for that moment, for that time to bring an overflow. This is the God we serve. Whew. Watch this. Let her pick them up and don't give her a hard time. So Ruth gathered barley all day, and when she beat out the grain that evening, this is a God of overflow. It filled an entire basket. And she carried it back into the town and showed it to her mother-in-law, Ruth. But it didn't stop there. And also gave her the roasted grain that was left over from her meal. This is called an overflow. Full and more. given, it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall it be poured into your lap. Her positioning led her to a place where it went to a whole nother level, because she was positioned for overflow blessing. In other words, the overflow blessing isn't just for you. It's actually, you're blessed to be a blessing. You're a river, not a reservoir. You don't keep to yourself. You let blessing flow through you. And we saw that with that girl in that testimony, how she came in, she needed redemption. She needed a savior. And somebody at our Empower Center smiled at her, loved her, cared for her. Our church came around her. She got saved. She had an encounter with Jesus. Then she became a Bible college student. And now she's serving back in the place where she found Jesus. And she smiled. Smiling like she has smiled, she would receive. Why? Because I'm blessed to be a blessing. I can't keep it to myself. I got to release it. That's called an overflow blessing. But it doesn't stop there. It says this in Ruth 4. So Boaz took Ruth into his home and she became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant and she gave birth to a son. Her overflow, it went to a whole nother level. It increased as she became the wife of the Kinsman Redeemer, just like we become the bride of Christ. Alien, your God will be my God. I position myself for blessing. I get the attention of blessing. There's overflow of blessing. I bring it home. And now I'm married and I'm producing an heir. Wow, that is called amazing. But it doesn't stop there, because her overflow became so great that her genealogy was blessed. Wow. And out of Ruth, it's blessing you, because I'm reading the story and we read it, but it's blessing you today, because out of her seed, out of her lineage, out of her genealogy came the one who changed us all. Watch this, Matthew chapter 1. Let's do that again. Matthew chapter 1. Good. Some of you go, why do you cheer for the word? Well, the word, the Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever. You know, football teams' wins will pass away, but it's the word of God that won't pass away. So we should be more excited about any sporting team, because the word of God remains forever. It's eternal, right? That's why we're excited. It says, this is a record of the ancestors of who? The Messiah. A descendant of David and Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. He was a good rugby player. Ram was the father of Abinadab. He's a rapper. Abinadab was the father of Nashon. He was a chef. I'm making that up, by the way. Nashon was the father of Salmon. He was a fisherman. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. She was a prostitute, actually. Isn't that the picture of Jesus? He takes what the world says discarded, and he says, oh, out of that line, I'm going to come. Keep going. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Jesus came out of that line through his mother Mary. Came out of that line. See, God took a Moabite, a foreigner, and says, I'm going to show you a picture of what I do. When I come into your life, I'll change you. I'll redeem you. I'll set you free from slavery and bondage. I'll come and give you an inheritance. I'll come and bring you into the family of God. And you'll walk as an heir. But not only that, not just for you, but your children's 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 will be blessed. I have a grandson now, and he's going to walk in an inheritance because the Redeemer came to my family. And here's the good news. He comes to your family and your family and your family and your family and your family. That means generations from now, they're going to be blessed. That means an overflow of blessing is there. But the thing is, we've got to position ourselves. You say, how do I position myself? Worship is a great positioner. Coming together, being discipled is a great positioner. Giving is a great positioner. Loving is a great positioner. The Word, getting in the Word is a great positioner. Praise is a great positioner. Position yourself for the attention of heaven so that you can bring your basket and overflow and bless other people. So then you can become in as a bride to a bridegroom and experience all the inheritance. And then your children's 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 children. I am of the seed of Abraham. Children's children, children, children. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Everywhere your foot treads, children's children, children, children. I'm out of the lineage of David. I'm a warrior and I'm a worshiper. I'm a lion and I'm a lamb. Children's children, 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 children. Because when he's in the room, things shift.
Thanks for joining us today. I hope that your faith was filled and you were encouraged. If you have any prayer requests or want to connect with us further, search for us on our social media at Planet Shakers. We'd love to hear from you.